At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Now, back to Real Ghost Stories Online, live.
Let's go to a story. I'll read this one. That was refreshing. There's something unsettling about children who see things the rest of us can't. Sometimes they just know too much. And sometimes what they describe is far too specific to be brushed off as imagination. Benjamin was one of those children. According to his sister, the one who told me this story, and this is from the writer, this is not me, Ben had been noticing strange things since he was barely out of diapers. First time he truly frightened the family, he was only two. They live in a small house in Florida. Then just an ordinary one story. One night, Ben stood at his sister's bedroom doorway, staring at something invisible to everyone else. He insisted a man was standing there, a man who looked exactly like their stepfather, Joe. Only Joe wasn't in that room. Ben was adamant. That's not Daddy. It looks just like him. The next day, the phone rang. It was Joe's sister, Mary, calling with heartbreaking news. Their brother, Henry, had died during the night. Mary asked Joe to go through old photo albums to find pictures of Henry for a memorial slideshow. That afternoon, the whole family sat on the living room floor flipping through pages of faded photographs. When Joe came across a picture of Henry as a younger man, Benjamin, only 2 years old, leaned over without hesitation and said, "That's him. That's the man I saw last night." The adults exchanged uneasy glances. It was one of those moments you don't forget. That was only the beginning. Fast forward 5 years. It's June of 07. Benjamin was 7 years old. His grandmother, his older sister, and the one telling this story, their Aunt Barb and older brother Robert, all took a summer road trip from Florida up to West Virginia to visit family. Ben and his mom stayed behind in Florida, spending the week at Grandma's house to take care of her animals. Three dogs, a cat, and two birds. Ben loved being around animals and was thrilled to help. One weekend evening, just before 7 o'clock, Ben was in the backyard playing with the three dogs. The summer heat had started to lift. The light was fading. His mom was inside making dinner. She stepped out to call him in. She remembers standing on the porch calling his name once, twice, a third, a fourth time. before he even seemed to hear her. He was standing frozen about 10 or 12 feet from the back fence when the dogs barked furiously at something along the fence line. Finally, he startled, almost like shaking himself awake, and bolted for the back door. Inside, she told him to wash his hands and sit at the table. And that's when he started to cry, when she asked why the words that came out of her seven-year-old's mouth didn't sound like the stuff of an overactive imagination. There was a little girl, he said, pointing towards the fence. She was about my age. She was floating back and forth. She had a white dress on, kind of holy, like ripped, down to her knees. She didn't have any legs. Her eyes were just black circles. He told his mom he could see straight through her body to the fence boards behind her. "Do you know what she was?" his mother asked, unsure what else to say. "Yes," Ben answered instantly. "She's a ghost." His mom kept her face calm, but she tucked that moment away in her mind. When the rest of the family returned from West Virginia, everyone was catching up inside the house when Ben tugged at his sister's hand. "Come on, come outside with me." She followed him into the backyard. He stopped her at the same spot, 10 or 12 feet from the fence, and looked up at her face. "Did you see her?" he asked. "See who?" she replied. Ben giggled the way little kids do when they think adults are missing the obvious. "Her," he said, pointing towards the fence. "She's right there. Her name is Camilla." Sister admits she felt a chill then. She bent down to his level. "Ben, who is Camilla?" "She's my friend," he said simply. The name stuck with him. Weeks after, their grandmother was on her work break telling coworkers about the odd timing Ben had claimed to see, or the odd thing Ben had claimed to see. An older woman at the table, she must have been in her 70s, went quiet for a moment and said, "There was a girl named Camilla, a terrible case back in 69. She remembered it because she'd been a young woman living in that area at the time. A man had abducted an 8-year-old girl while she was walking to school near Springs Lake Elementary. The girl's name was Camilla. According to the old story, the man lured the child over by claiming he had found her lost puppy. When she reached for the dog, he grabbed her and forced her into his car. She never made it to school that day. Her body was discovered days later near a wetland. She'd been assaulted and murdered. Even her little brown dog was found dead at a nearby lake. The following weekend, shaken by the coincidence, Grandma drove Ben and his sister to the downtown Orlando library to look through microfilm of old newspapers from 1969. Scrolling through reels of the Evening Star, they found it, the headline, the tragic story, and finally the photo. A black and white image of a smiling 8-year-old second grader from Spring Lake Elementary. Grandma printed the picture. They showed it to Benjamin without prompting, just asking if he recognized the girl. And he didn't hesitate. "That's her," he said. "That's Camilla." There was no coaching, no guessing. And the strangest detail of all, at the time Ben saw her in the backyard, he himself was attending Spring Lake Elementary, the same school Camilla had been walking towards the day she vanished in 1969. For the family, it was the first time the story of the girl in the tattered white dress felt less like a child's invention and more like something unexplainable. The years went on, but Ben's odd experiences didn't stop. In late 2008, tragedy struck their own household, Philip, their mother's boyfriend, someone Ben had known and liked, died suddenly of a massive heart attack the day after Thanksgiving. His death shocked the whole family, and not long after, one evening around 8:30, Ben finished a slice of cake after dinner. His mom told him to toss the paper plate and put the fork in the dishwasher. He did as told, but just as he was about to close the dishwasher door, he froze. He later told his mom he'd had strange sensations of being watched. When he turned, he saw Philip standing by the dining room table wearing a red T-shirt, arms at his side, silent. Ben bolted to the living room chair next to his mom and started to cry. He didn't say anything then. He just sat there, pale and quiet. The next morning, on the way to school, he finally said, "Mommy, I'm ready to tell you about last night." He described exactly what he had seen Philip in the same shirt he used to wear, standing right there as if alive. By then, the family had stopped dismissing Ben's stories. From the time he was 2 until nearly 9, he had described at least 10 separate incidents he claimed happened while he was fully awake. Not dreams, not sleepwalking. He also often dreamed of people who had died. In the dreams, he said, they would tell him they loved him or that they were okay. His sister told me the family had come to accept that Ben might be what some call sensitive, a child more open to things than the rest of us. She still remembers standing in the backyard with him that summer night, his small hand in hers, him pointing at empty air and asking, "Do you see her?" Then calmly telling her the girl's name as if he'd known her forever. Maybe it was imagination, maybe a coincidence layered over local legend, or maybe a little boy really did meet the ghost of a girl who never made it home from school in 1969. Whichever you believe, the image of a 7-year-old boy quietly crying at the kitchen table because he'd just seen a friend no one else could see, that's a detail that stays with you. And it's why his family still wonders who or what has been reaching out to Benjamin all these years. And that's the rest of the story.
Like, I can't believe anybody wouldn't believe that poor kid. I'm glad that his family responded the way they did. Because, you know what I mean? Because if they would have kept telling him, "No, no, no, you're not seeing those things. You're not seeing those things." What would that make a kid feel like if they are seeing those things?
I miss the old elementary schools, like the old, old creepy ones. So many of them are gone now and they've been replaced by nice modern facilities. I miss the old, like 100-year-old buildings of the past.
That reminds me. One of my friends messaged me the other day, and she works in one of those old ones here in town. It's Robinson Elementary.
Yeah.
Over on the east side of town. It's one of those old dark brick ones that are like 2 stories high. Every town has one.
Yeah.
Built in probably the 1920s. So the other day, teachers go in pretty early. I think it was around 7 in the morning. And then the science rooms are in the same wing of the building, like the same area. And when the science teachers got to their room, there's like 3 of them. All of the rooms, they have smart boards now.
Yeah.
Very different from when I was a kid.
Sure.
All of the smart boards were playing the same song. And they're all separate. They're not connected smart boards. And they were all playing the same song. And then there was something else that happened. I should look at her text because she got home from work and she texted me. And I was like, "Oh my God." She said, "Everybody just stopped." And it was like, let's see. She said, "All the science teachers boards were playing the same song about 6 a.m. One said hers was just scrolling and opening tabs all on its own."
Creepy.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think those old schools are super haunted. But the fact that they're all independent, because all the teachers are teaching different ages and they're not running the same program. You know, it's not like, here's where we ended yesterday, all 3 rooms, the exact same thing. It's all different. But they were all playing the same song.
That would be creepy. I was trying to see if I don't know where I'd find it easily or quickly. I took video years ago. Remember when I went and explored BTK's elementary?
That was creepy. You got some of the creepiest pictures.
Yeah, they were tearing it down. The BTK killer, Dennis Rader. It was this old, it was an abandoned elementary that I would drive by all the time coming to work. And I always thought it'd be so neat to go in there and take pictures. And all of a sudden I see one day they're like tearing it down on one end, but the other half is still there. I'm like, well, it's now or never. So I went over and I'm like, Can I go into this other part of this building and just take some pictures before it's gone? They're like, put on a hard hat. And like, okay. They're like, don't go past this. I'm like, deal. I'm just going to go over there. They're like, all right. So I went in there and I got a ton of really cool photos. And it was so eerie as like literally part of the building is being torn down on the opposite end. I was going through the classrooms and there's still the chalkboards up. There were still some desks in some of the rooms. In the cafeteria slash gymnasium. There was like the carpeted balance beams that they'd have us go on in elementary, those sort of things. It's all there in like hopscotch on the probably asbestos tiles. You know,
it's exactly.
It was really creepy. And then to think, Dennis Rader went to school here, but you gotta wonder like. Almost all elementary schools, if you were to go through the ranks of who's gone to them, if it's been around for a long period of time, you got to have a lot of people.
Yeah.
Not just well-known bad people, but there's got to be a lot of horror stories of folks just by sheer numbers.
I do think it's weird in that story, too, that Ben went to that school where this little girl died.
Yeah.
And like, maybe he's the only kid who can see her.
Yeah, I thought about that, too.
Yeah.
She attached to him. Because he's got a lot of people, a lot of ghosts.
My childhood elementary school, Tony, you know this, eventually closed down because it was a country school and only had three classrooms and a gymnasium.
Yeah.
It became a bar for a while.
Uh-huh.
And then it became a sex shop. So now...
So, I was so
I know exactly where it is.
Now it was called the Spice of Life for a while, and now it's called something else. And I drive by, and because my parents actually was on the road my parents lived on. So every time I went to visit my mom and dad, I would go past it and think, oh, I went to third and fourth grade there. And now there's movie booths where I used to drink my milk and piss my pants. So you know. it's so sad. It was such a wonderful place. My mom used to work there. She'd come down at lunch and she would watch the kids for recess and stuff like that. And it was literally like a mile and a half down the road from my house. So I'd walk down there on the weekends and play and stuff like that. And now, people go there to buy various products.
And Todd had such fond memories.
Oh my gosh.
And I remember like when it turned into that too, because like all of a sudden, like all along the highway, it's like sex, sex, sex.
Yes, but it would be like coming up the Spice of Life and then another Spice of Life and then another Spice of Life and then God hates porn.
Yeah.
There was one that would say Jesus is watching you or whatever it would say.
Yes. Oh, so many questions for all the children that learn how to read. What does this mean,
Daddy? Mom? What is porn?
What's going on over there? What is this? Oh, yeah. I thought that was an elementary school. It was.
It was.
It was.
Todd went there. Yeah.
Thanks for watching and listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any of the many ghost stories that we put out to you multiple times a day, 365 days a year, right here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And share your real ghost story with us as well. You can call in 24/7 at 855-853-4802 or write in on our website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Subscribe, share your story, and then come back and watch us live Monday nights, 8 p.m. Central on our YouTube channel for Real Ghost Stories Online Live. And hit subscribe so you don't miss any of those episodes that we put out for you all week long right here at Real Ghost Stories Online.